And
thank you.
Radio. I see that our friend from Tennessee is on board too.
We had a good old summertime theme on there, and I like to listen to that in the wintertime because it reminds me of the good old summertime.
And it's coming back soon.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, Bob, last week, Lynn and I were walking along the beach in 85-degree weathers in Punta Cana.
Wow.
And
somebody's
got to
do it, right?
Time.
Yeah, somebody's got to do it, yeah. That's great. I see my friend Derek is on here also. Are you still with us, Derek?
Yep.
Say hi, Ron.
Hi, Ron.
Derek, is it snowing in Tennessee today?
No.
Okay. We met some people that want to go. We recommended that they go to Gatlinburg, Tennessee for vacation. And they didn't know anything about Gatlinburg, Pigeon Forge. She didn't even know that's where Dollywood was, of course, because we've been there. Linda got to spend time with Claudia Nardoni and artists and some other business ladies for a retreat. And Gary Umphreyville and I drove our wives down from Buffalo to the mountains there in Gatlinburg, and they were up in the mountains where the cabins all were. Later, that's where the big fire was. In fact, the cabin that Claudia used to stay in, the girls stayed in, burned to the ground. That was a couple years ago, right? And they were there like a year or two before that for the retreat. And Gary and I stayed at this hotel complex and had a pool. And it was up on the side of the mountain, and we would go down to the bottom of the hill, and we had bubble gum shrimp place, and there's a barbecue place, and we went to the Ripley's Aquarium, and we had I saw a 30-foot great white shark swim right over my head, and I got to tell you,
wow,
that shark could have swallowed me whole without even blinking. It was huge, and then right behind
wow.
him was in a tunnel. I was in a glass tunnel, and he went over my head. And right behind him was a hammerhead. And those are real nasty sharks. And then right, they were like a parade. And then right after the hammerhead came one of those big sawfish sharks. And I just saw a thing on Discover that the sawfish shark is a nasty, nasty. It swings its head to kill its prey when it's going to want to eat. It just swings its head and rips its prey. Other fish or people, they're in the water with them, and he just whips his head and rips them apart. So that's what we saw. And then there was an 8-foot wide stingray. It was 8-foot wide. It was bigger. Gary held his arms up. He kind of swam up next to the glass in front of us, and Gary spread his arms out, and this
wow.
the sea ray was bigger than Gary with his arms and legs spread out.
Wow.
Oh, I'm telling you, we had such a wonderful time. And that was just
sounds
a
like
really,
you guys
really
had a great
good.
Time.
Oh, my goodness, we truly did. And I'd go, you know, I tell everybody to go to Gatlinburg or Nashville to go, make sure they go over and take the time to go to Gatlinburg. There's a Titanic museum there, and they've got artifacts, right? When the guy Ballard went under sea with the submarines, the cameras, they've recovered a bunch of china and all kinds of stuff they recovered from the ship, and they have it on display inside the ship. And of course, they have movies and the history of it. I'm fascinated with Titanic. It's always been an attraction to me. So there's a museum there. And there's entertainment, there's shows. Bob, I know there's this one place. They've got the Moonshine Museum.
The moonshine.
Yeah, you go in there and they have different mixes, blends of moonshine, and they walk up and they give you a little mug of this different stuff, and it's a bar,
and there's barbecue. The barbecues down there are really good, and on the side of the mountain, there's also cable cars, and you go up the top of the mountain, and you can come down on the cable car, or they have zip lines, and you can get on, get hooked up with a hook, and they put you on the zip line, and they push you. And you just fly down the side of the mountain. You go back and forth and back and forth. And I'm not going to do that.
Wow.
But we saw some nuts. There were some real nuts. Derek, you probably would like to do that. But anyways, we do love Gatlinburg. We had considered looking at that as possible retirement place. But when they had the floods and the fires there in the last 2 years, we're kind of looking some other places now. So we don't know for sure, but that could be where we end up.
Yeah, you're not ready to retire anyway, right, Ronnie?
Well, I can retire anywhere in the world. It's, you know, retire just means I just change where my residence is.
I'll
tell you another thing. Can I give you an update, Bob, on what's going on with some of the projects that I had Gary forwarded to you Saturday morning's coaches called. We had it recorded, and I gave a report to the Hope Collection, everybody, members and board members and everybody, and I outlined this year's goals that we are looking to accomplish this year, and that's what
great.
I'm saying. We're looking to accomplish, and we've already put in motion a couple projects. Monday, Gary Helfenstein and I met with a group called CTI. And they're a legitimate private educational organization. They have two divisions. One is a train veterans and young men, women, they don't exclude women, but in the trades, welding, carpentry, wire, electric, and HVAC and heating and plumbing. And the kids that graduate, the people that graduate from this course, they have 100% job placement with every one of them. And then the other side, we'll call it, they have what's called a digital academy. And that's really a Jobonomics title. But they are really interested in really helping young people today. They're not interested in the old, most are not interested in the trades. They're looking for cutting edge internet technology opportunities. And Jobonomics has a program called Digital Academy. It's a curriculum, and it teaches anybody, but the youth seem to cling to this concept and this program of creating online businesses. This program, the actual program, helps create 100 new businesses a month, not jobs. Businesses, 100, and right now we're operating in 13 cities. It's already proven and operating in 13 cities. And what we also have with it the whole structure for, instead of going in and Chuck Vollmer said to me one day, I was talking to him about we have a couple buildings that we can get here to probably get them pretty cheap. Of course, when you get them cheap, you got to convert them, and that costs millions. What we have in our back pocket, you heard of Elon Musk, the guy at Tesla, the Tesla car, and the guy put the space thing in. Well, he has a company that builds ultra-modern, absolutely fabulous, energy-efficient new building structures that can be up in 30 days.
Wow.
From the day the funding comes, they could be up in 30 days and operating. And these are big. In fact, the Tesla home office for Elon Musk is one of these buildings. They're modern, they're sharp, they're cutting edge, and they're where youth want to be in. They don't want to be in a converted old barn or old rusty, dusty building. They want to be in cutting-edge modern technology. That's what we recommend. Now, can you use an older building operator? Yes. But Chuck has gotten delivering through this program. Well, we made, Gary and I made a presentation to the board of CTI, and they have an assignment within, they got 2 weeks. Next week they have to deliver their proposal. We're going to file it for funding, and it's somewhere between $5 and $10 million. That would be the first HOPES Jobonomics project, and it all goes back to the day that Joel met Chuck Vollmer and later on introduced me to Chuck Vollmer and the HOPE collection. We have another one going up in Florida, no Jobonomics program. We got another one that is just starting in Georgia. And Rick Reese is looking and connecting. In fact, he's connecting with Chuck Vollmer today to start one in Colorado and Miami. So there is a lot of activity that is going to be in.
Yeah.
How it works is this. Jobonomics provides the teaching, the building, and the project, and the way to get the money. HOPE Collection provides the coaching, the lifestyle, and the backdrop to encourage and optimize your life. So it's a partnership to help make a difference. And we're directly involved. And as a result, the HOPE Collection will get funds to run our administration and cover the cost of running the HOPE Collection, which we never had.
Well, that's great. That is wonderful that we're going to be financed finally.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. So that's where we're at, Bob, and I'm proud to share that with you and bring it to the forefront. So I'll be calling on you because we've got things to talk about and work on going forward.
That is awesome, Ronnie. That is awesome. I'm really happy you came on because that was something that I wanted to cover anyway with some of the projects that are going on. And it's amazing. And I know you're just scratching the surface, but there's a whole lot going on today in the HOPE Collection. And Ron Clayton is right in the middle of all of it. You know, he's there. He's leading it. He's a leadership. And so thank you, Ronnie. Thank you so much for everything you do. And congratulations. Again, congratulations on being the new president of the HOPE board. That is awesome. I know you were nominated and voted in 100%. So everybody on the board is for you. And when are we going to? Oh, a quick question: are we going to have a special meeting to bring in the other new members of the board? I know we kind of passed over that at the last meeting.
Let's see. Today is what, the 3rd of February. I've got another week's worth of organizing the background aspects of where we're heading. I have to type out, by the way, the Saturday morning coaches call is verbally what I'm putting in writing to present to you, the board and the board members. And I'm just been up to my elbows in doing that. When I have that done, then I think I've got to talk to Tim Kaufman about being a chaplain. I got to follow through with a couple people that I know, a couple of them, like, do you remember Mark Rowland from Mission Realty? Mark Rowland.
Oh, yeah.
Mark
Rowland.
He was in Rochester, New York.
Yeah.
His infamy comes to the fact that he was a partner in building the Mall of America and Eastview Mall in Rochester, New York, along with other development. Do you remember the senior development retirement project that Joel built on the hill, the cliff over there in Geneva? The houses were all. Well, Mark Rowland was the developer working with Joel to put that up. The first one in New York State. Well, Mark has come back involved with us. He doesn't want to be in the board. He doesn't want to be listed as an advisor, but he is definitely definitely going to work with us on individual projects with us, and he brings his expertise as president of the New York State Commercial Realtors Organization, and multiple times the number one commercial real estate developer in Monroe County in Western New York, and multiple times was recognized for that level of achievement. And today he's in, by the way, Mark and Carolyn are right down the road for you. How far are you from Newark?
Newark? About an hour, 55 minutes or something.
Well, he's somewhere between Newark and you because his daughter's delivering a baby. He's going to be a grandpa. They're there. He's there right now. And so he'll be coming on the show, so I'll introduce you. We're going to set up a couple Zoom calls instead of using blog one of these days, and I'm just not ready to do that yet. In fact, I'm trying to work another system. Joel has introduced us to Talk Fusion a while ago, and I would like to think of maybe using that because I like it even more than Zoom. It seems to be more, when it works, it really works good. So we'll know more about that in the future, but I'm not quite ready yet. So I'm organizing a lot of background stuff. If the project for CTI gets, or really any one program that will get funded, part of the, I'll say it, the thanks for funding that is they will get enough money that they could funnel to the Hope Collection money to pay for a full-time administrator and to redo our website. And I've linked that as part of, if you want Jobonomics, this is what going to cost you. And so if and when one of these projects hits in the next 60 days, then we'll be, that's what I'm aiming for.
Yeah. You mentioned developer, by the way, and my son Randy and I work directly with a developer here in Pennsylvania and New Jersey renovating homes that are purchased and then renovated and then resold. So we've done probably 25 of them in the last almost 2 years now, and it keeps us busy. And it actually is they turn out very well because they're older homes and we upgrade them and renovate them and if all electrical needs to be redone, we redo that, and plumbing and everything that needs to be redone. Replace windows and doors and all of that.
What you might consider, Bob, is we may look with your developer and we can have a call outside of, the blog radio show call. We could get together. We could even do a Zoom call together and introduce and maybe explore how, through the programs that Jobonomics has, you could be developing a series of Hopes homes with the different benefits of having a Hopes home. And it doesn't have to be a big community or big development. And it can be converted homes. So we could talk about helping you get funding to do it, and maybe your developer wants to do more, or you have sites on doing something. Let's talk about that, okay?
Yeah.
Would you like that?
Yeah, I'd like that. I at least want to find out more information about it and meet some of the people. We'll see if we can go forward with that, because both Randy and I want to get more involved in being the developers ourselves, rather than working for someone else.
We can do that.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
Well, we certainly can do that, Robert. So, look, I'm up to my elbows here, as you know, but I do want to take time to be on your show. Share things that I can. And by the way, we are looking for expanding our base of hosters. Like, you are the hostess with the mostest. And I mean that. So you know, we're looking at, we're going to have a, one of the goals this year is to have a membership campaign. And we're going to tie that in with the Goals of Moose Society. Well, we got to get more members. We've got to get more hands. We need more hands to make. So we're going to do that. And so we'll be talking about that some more here shortly. And that's another project. And I certainly will look for you to help me with that. By the way, how is Larry? Is everything okay? I haven't talked to him lately.
To who?
Larry.
I talked to him this morning. He was going to come on the show, but he hasn't been on yet. So,
well, I look forward to talking to him, and I just want to know if everything's okay. I know he has a son with some challenges.
They're doing good. They're having some family problems, but you know, with children and everything, sometimes you have family problems, you know. But they're working through it. They're working through it, and they're strong, and they're just about moved in their new house that they have. It's not a new house.
Oh,
it's,
good.
It's a house, really nice place. I helped them do a lot of work in it, so he and his wife are just such nice people. And their boys,
tell them I said hello when you talk to them again today, tomorrow, next day.
Yeah, I will.
Tell
I will.
I said hi, and we miss them and look forward to talking to them.
Yeah.
So I'm going to sign off, Bob, because I got to move on. So you have a wonderful afternoon.
Yeah, okay, my friend. I know you're very busy, and I know you got a lot to do. And don't hesitate to ask me to help you. What you're working on if you need it.
All right.
And I will do my best to help you with whatever it is that you need help with. Okay, my friend.
Thanks, Robert. All righty.
God bless you, and Linda. You guys have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on, too. Awesome. Folks, that was the president of the board of directors of the Hope Collection. We're a registered 501c3, which means that we're a not-for-profit corporation. And that allows us to work with people through nonprofit efforts, and also to work with organizations and companies that are for profit. So we can work in the private sector, we can work in the we can work in the public sector, in the federal government and the state governments and local governments on different projects. So we're registered and qualified to do all of that. And that's one of the reasons why it's called a collection. It's actually a Hope Collection. And this radio show was set up many years ago by Dr. Joel Griffin. And Joel was a 40-year friend of mine for 40 years. He and I have been friends. And Ron Clayton also for about the same time. And we've been working together on nonprofit venues for years, and we were working on for-profit venues also and programs. So it's been a Dr. Joel passed away last year, and he had a long-term bout with cancer. And he had many, many operations, but he finally, the good Lord said, it's time. Come on up. I got some work I want you to do up here. So, but anyway, if I know Joel, he's involved with everyone else up there in heaven also, because he was so involved with people on this country doing the work that God wanted us to do. And that was helping people by helping them to help other people. Joel, many, many years ago, called a bunch of us together. We were in various programs. We were business partners and friends for many years. And he called us together and he said, I have a vision that I want to set up a nonprofit for my mom's memory, his mother's memory. His mother was named Hope. That was her real name, Hope. She was always helping people. She was way ahead of her time as a woman, and she had received her master's degree in teaching and art, and she used that to help people all the time. She called together a lot of veterans, I should say survivors of families of military people that have died, service members that have died, and she did started up an organization with them, and she always was working with children because as a teacher she loved working with children, and so that's why Joel wanted to set up a program that's been very successful over the years and continues to grow. It was originally called the Hope Foundation, but then it was renamed to the Hope Collection because that's really more representative of what the Hope Collection is all about. It's a collection of different organizations and different programs, most of which we have not developed, but we partner with because there's no way we could do all of it. So we've joined up with other companies and other organizations. We're working with the federal government. We're working with the Veterans Administration, and we're working with various state agencies and organizations. And we're working with private, as also I said, private industries and other charitable organizations like Easter Seals and New York City Relief and other different organizations that we're affiliated with. Because when we partner like that, we usually vet out an organization or a program that someone has, and they we find out if there's some synergy in us working together with them and them working together with us. And so that's how it works out. And like, for example, the Golden Rule Society, which was started by a Navy captain, Captain Len Kane. And he was an Air Force pilot for many years. He was a top gun in the Air Force. And he later became a pilot, a commercial airline pilot. And he decided he wanted to start up a small not-for-profit business. This was almost 50, I think it was 50 years ago this year. He and his wife started it up, and they've been doing it ever since. Lynn is just a fantastic person, just like Joel Griffin was. They're all about helping other people, not about doing things for themselves, but more to help other people. I see my friend. Is that Larry on the line with us now?
Yes, it is. I don't have a phone in either house right now, so I got to call you on my cell phone.
I thought I recognized that number. Yeah. Okay. Great. I was just going over some things about how the Hope Collection got started and how Dr. Griffin decided to set it up to remember his mother's name and things like that. And you just missed Ron Clayton. Ron was on here for a while, and I wanted to. I don't know if you heard it or not, but. Ron is the new president of the board of directors. We had a meeting about a week ago, and we decided to elect new officers. And I was reelected as the vice president of the board. So Ron is just the new president, taking over from Sharon Anderson. She retired. And we are very happy to serve in those positions. And we have many new projects that are coming on onto the Hope Collection. And that's one of the things that Ron was talking about a few minutes ago, an organization called Jobonomics, where they're helping a lot of people to get jobs and helping people to get set up in small businesses if that's what they want. We're partnered with them in order to create some ongoing income for the Hope Collection. We've always had Joel was always hunting for new opportunities to make the Hope Collection self-sufficient. Well, it worked for a while, but then some of the organizations dropped out and went on to do other things. And so we were kind of in a vacuum without any financial backing. So this is what the program that Ron was talking about, Jobonomics, is going to give us that backing. We're going to work together as a team, Jobonomics and the Hope Collection. And all of us on the board will be supporting Jobonomics, and all of them will be supporting the Hope Collection. So it's a win-win situation. And Ron has been working on getting that all set up. We have to develop what's called a method of operation. In other words, how are the two entities like the Hope Collection and Jobonomics going to work together, and how are they? How is the income going to be developed through the two organizations, and what share will each one of them get, and so forth. So it's a big step in the right direction, and it's going to help us to be financed. So I just mentioned that, Larry, because I know you, you've been involved with the Hope Collection for many years now, and you're moving into a new property, and you got a lot of things on your plate right now. And so I haven't really pursued bringing you on the show for a while because one thing, I was sick for quite a while with the coronavirus. But now I'm well, and we're getting things rolling here for this year on what we're going to do with the Hope Collection. We're actually revising a number of the websites that we have. We have six websites that we use through the Hope Collection and through Optimize My Life and through My Coach's Corner and others. And we're actually improving them. Ron has found a group that will do the modifications that we need to have done on the websites. And so that's another area that we're working on, improving the whole process. Any questions regarding that, Larry? Any comments?
No. I tell you what, though, I can't wait for that thing that's going to happen in Buffalo this year.
Yep.
I definitely want to, hopefully I can make that. You know what I mean? Because it's really going to be a great celebration up there. I want to go to Canada anyhow. But who knows? I have a sister, what do you call it? Sister-in-law in right outside of Toronto. So,
oh, okay.
No, she's not. Great. So I like to go up and visit them. It's funny because they can't come down here to the States. It's they make it so hard. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous. But hopefully they'll open the border up again.
Yeah. I remember years ago when I used to travel up into Canada. It was so easy. Just go up to the border crossing.
Yeah.
And you talk a little bit with them. They find out what you're here for and what you want to do. Don't have to have any passport or nothing like that, you know. And you just go in, you know. And I've been to Ottawa, and I've been to Toronto and other areas up in Canada. And I loved it. It was a beautiful country up there. And the people were just really, really very friendly up in Canada. And I met a lot of my wife at that time. And we met a lot of French Canadians. And they were really, really nice people. So anyway,
I have relatives in Canada. I haven't seen my relatives in Canada. I don't know how long.
I'd like to, I'd like to go back up there and, you know, say hello to them and stuff like that. But it's been such a long time since I've been there. I think the last time I was up there was when me and my wife went. I don't even think we had any children at the time. So that's got to be like almost 24 years ago, I guess. Wow. That's a long time.
Yeah,
probably 25 years since I've been up there.
Yeah.
Think about it, because
you're 24 now, right? I mean, that's like 9 months or so.
It's probably been at least 25 years since we've been up there. It's been a long, long time. I mean, I used to,
you know,
when I was a kid, we used to go up every summer. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, I the first time I went to Canada, my wife and I, and I think we had two children at that time, or three maybe. 1967 was the World Fair, and it was in Canada. And I didn't know anything about Canada at that time. I was still a young man. And we had an old station wagon. We all hopped in with the station wagon.
That's how I used to go by station wagon.
What they used to do?
They used to put us. They put like cases of beer, and we sleep on top of the cases of beer. So we went to Canada because the beer's more expensive in Canada. So I'll never forget that, sleeping on top of the beer.
We went up there, and you know, we didn't have any reservations for hotel or anything when we went up there. And when we got into the Ottawa area, even before we had gone to the World's Fair, we stopped in this restaurant to get something to eat, and this couple was sitting there eating next to us, and we started a little conversation, and they asked us where we were from. We told them and so forth. And then they asked us where we were staying. And we said, well, we haven't really found a place yet. We've looked at a couple of hotels, but they were all filled up because of the World's Fair. And they said, well, don't look anymore, because you guys can stay with us until you find a place.
Wow, that's nice.
You know, and that was the first experience we had with the French Canadians, but it was really nice. They had they were an older couple, and they all their children had moved out on their own, and they had spare rooms available, so it was perfect. And we stayed there for 3 or 4 days with them, and we had a great time. And so they showed us around the area, and they showed us where the fair was and all that kind of thing. So so it was great. And see, the good Lord was looking out for us at that time. And as a matter of fact, he's still looking out for us every day. But we went there with faith that we would find what we needed. And it worked out.
It worked out even better for you.
And Gail's aunt lived in Canada, and her one of her cousins, and we used to go up and visit them all the time too, and that was really good. They were just really good people, and we could stay with them, so we didn't have to worry about hotels or anything. And I've had some great experiences in Canada, and I love it.
It's a very nice country. It's very nice. I mean, like, I wish it's got to be 20
years. I wish
years
you the best
going
enough. Up there, you know. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's probably about 20 years since I've been up there. So it might even be longer than that. No, it's got to be longer than that because I said it's probably like 25 or 28 years because we didn't have the kids when we went up there. So and it's probably 25 years.
It'll be good. It'll be good to visit them. You know, it'll be
good.
And I know they'll be happy to see you. You know,
I know they will. Yeah.
So that's great. And did you and Josie meet up there in Canada, or did you? Or no?
No, no. I guess we were married. Yeah, we had to have been married. I think. Yeah. We've been married 25 years, so it's probably maybe 24 years ago, something like that.
Yeah.
What year did we get married?
Yeah,
I might think what year we got married, because we got, what the heck was it? 1999, I think it was, we got married.
Uh-huh.
No, 96.
That's
90,
great.
No, 95, I think it was.
95. Well, that's 5 and plus 20, almost 27 years this year. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's amazing how time flies when we're having fun, right?
Yeah. It might be 95 or 94, yeah. And actually, it's funny because I keep bragging that I'm the only person to be married twice to the same woman. We went to Malaysia, right? We go over there, and we took over there for her brother's wedding, and it got called off, and so then she was talking to her mother, and the mother asked, you know, would I mind getting married, you know? And actually, this is before, you know, we weren't supposed to get married till September. So actually, we were married in Malaysia first. I think it was like February or March. I forget what month it was, but it was like before we got married, you know, in the States. So
yeah,
it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I think
so
you showed me some of the pictures.
Yeah, I've showed you pictures, right? I've been married.
Yeah,
twice for the same woman.
That was great. It was a beautiful wedding. Just like the wedding Fleur and I had. It was a beautiful wedding. I invited you guys to come, and it was glad to have you there. We were so happy to have you there. We haven't got our album together yet. My daughter Heather is working on putting some things together for us, and we're gathering all the pictures that were taken, and we're trying to put it all together. But we're getting there. We've been involved a lot in what?
You got time? There's no big rush, right?
Yeah, right. You know, it was the important thing last year for us was one, getting settled in our apartment. That was the important thing, and then it was important to get everything set up for our wedding and getting through that. And that all takes time in a year's time. It all takes time, and she had concerns about immigration because she needed to. She only had a 6-month window, and she came back here in April, and so we had to.
Had to hurry up and get married. So now she can stay here, right?
Yes. We've completed. That's the other thing we did during this year. We completed the all the immigration papers, and it's all been filed with immigration, and now we're waiting to hear back from them. I had to take her about a month ago. I had to take her over to Elizabeth to go through a process where they call it bionomics process, where they check your background and everything, and take your fingerprints and all that kind of stuff. We got it all taken care of.
Yeah. Well,
so we're,
how do you
we're
like,
waiting now.
Now
we're waiting now for the to get a permanent residency status on her, you know, immigration.
Right.
Because that's what we wanted, to get a permanent residency status. And once we get that, then I can file for Social Security, and we can get her all set up, and she can get a driver's license and everything, you know. But we gotta get that approval from immigration first. And it's holding us up. It's holding us up right now. But so we're hopeful that comes pretty soon.
You know, why is it so hard? Because what's his name? He just lets illegals cross right over the border.
Yeah,
and he's giving them $10,000 each.
Yep.
All the illegals.
Yep.
Now, does that make sense?
No, it doesn't.
And somebody from another country, you know, like, you know, they got to go through all this crap, you know.
We've got one other person who just joined us. I'm trying to figure out who it is from the telephone number. That's a 770 telephone number. Would you announce yourself?
You going to help me to tell everybody that I'm a spiritual ninja during the daylight? How am I going to hide out at night if I'm going to tell everybody who I am during the day? I'm trying to get some listening in on this immigration stuff. I was trying to marry this little girl from the Philippines, but I couldn't figure out how to get her in the country. Y'all tell her, put her in a box.
Yeah.
Call it special delivery. Cash on delivery. COD, country. You pay for her when you get here. Let me order me about two more. Can I, she got any sisters or brothers that she need to get in here?
Yeah.
You know, no, I was enjoying the conversation, Oak Man, because I don't know a lot about it. I know my law firm, my water company has an attorney on board, and that's what her and my mentor, Dan Vargas, has done. Carol did it for 10 years. She's an immigration lawyer. She lives in Texas.
Yeah.
Wow. But,
oh, boy.
Just
she must be going through a heck of a stuff right now.
Say it again?
So she must be going through a hell of a job right now with all the illegals that keep crossing the border and coming in.
Yeah. Well, who is illegal when we're supposed to be the great U.S. of A., home of the brave, our doors are open to the world, you're welcome.
Right.
Excuse my French, I don't want to sound biased, but I am. If they was to send the Latinos back home, who's going to build the buildings? Who's going to pick up the paper? Who's going to hang on the side of the big glass tall buildings, the sky rises, and wash the windows? Who's going to? All the stuff that, excuse my French, them foreigners do is the stuff that we don't want to freaking do. We too lazy. It don't pay enough. Oh, zoop, zoop,
right.
Zoop, I might get hurt. They're looking for, we're supposed to be the great U.S. of A., the land of opportunity. Excuse my French again.
Yep.
I'm a Negro. I'm an Afro-American.
Yep.
Go back to where you're from.
Yep.
What the hell you mean go back to where I'm from? I'm not from Africa. I was born in America. But they want me to go back to where I came from. Matter of fact, excuse my French, Bob, the white folks brought us here without even asking us. We didn't ask to come here. They come and kidnapped us and put us on the fucking ship and call us slaves. So now, if people want to come voluntarily, we won't let people come voluntarily, but we made the Negroes come who didn't want to come. So what's up with that, America?
You know,
great
U.S.
society.
You got that right.
Country.
And then they come on their backs. Why?
I'll tell you one thing.
60 fucking miles across the ocean to get to the land of opportunity, I'd be wet, too, if I was in the water. I'm in the water business. I'm an Aquarian.
Yeah.
I'm the mighty Aquarian. Nothing in the world can live without water. We can't live in America without the Mexicans doing the shit that we don't want to do. Bake up your hotel room and clean your toilet.
Yep.
I was going to marry about six of them just so I could get them here.
You know, country boy.
I'm sorry.
Huh?
I ain't mad. My Ron told me when I come on the air from now on, speak the truth. The truth is the truth, and it's good enough until it ain't.
That's it.
Hey, country, hold on a minute.
Yes, sir.
Hold on a minute. Yeah, one of the things I like about you is that you're a man of many words, and you have a wonderful way of expressing yourself. And I just appreciate you so much for coming on the show and sharing with us all of your views and the things that you're so much involved in. You're a young man that's taken advantage of the American dream and worked it out and is prospering from your efforts and the good Lord's help in helping you forward and helping you to help other people move forward. So I commend you for that.
I appreciate it. Marvin Gaye used to say, "The world ain't gonna." He says, "Ain't." He's from the South. The world ain't gonna get no better if we just let it be. We got to change the world.
Right.
Just you and me. I was talking.
Yep.
They don't mention Dr. King. He's safely dead now. Not when Dr. King was living, they didn't nobody like him. The black folks didn't like him because every time he came to their town, they'd come and burnt their church or somebody threw a brick. I wish he'd take his black ass back down to Atlanta. They didn't like Dr. King until he was safely dead. And when he was safely dead, they give him one day a year and shout him out. And you know what Dr. King's top one favorite saying was? "I know when right is right and wrong is wrong. But what's wronger than right is right people knowing what's right and won't do nothing about it. That's what's wrong with right."
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And then they said, "Sticks and stones may break my bones,
but words will never hurt me.
I tell you what, you let your father call you a nobody, a nothing, and he'll ruin your whole life with his words. Oh, I was reading in that little book, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God. So when I speak the word, God said it was good.
Yep.
He saw it was good, and it was good. If it's good, 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 and it's of God, and if it ain't of God, then it ain't good. My granddaddy used to say, "Baby, if you ain't got nothing, if you ain't," there goes that word again, "if you ain't got nothing good to say, you have a right to remain silent. Don't say nothing at all." So when people speak now, they need to speak love. That love is the greatest gift of all. I said gift. You missed that too. We didn't do nothing to learn it. We didn't do nothing to earn it. You can't even get no degree in love. It was given to you, but love is not love until one gives it away. So if you want to experience some love today, then why don't you start by going out and giving some love away? I tell the kids, practice it. Practice doesn't mean you get perfect. Well, there was only one that walked the planet with perfection. Practice means you only get better and better and better at whatever it is that you do. So why don't more people do unto others before they do unto you, good Samaritan? And when you give some love away, Baba Oak Man, it comes right back to you. That's why we're still here.
Yep.
We got love to give.
Yep, and that's why
100% right.
That's why we are succeeding, because we're doing the right things for the right reasons, and we're doing what the good Lord wants us to do. There's no way we can lose.
Did you know that these people, excuse my French when I say these people, I sound biased when I say that. These people, I'm talking about the U.S. of A, spent $13.4 billion, that's what it be, billion dollars on an international campaign. I'll let y'all guys in. I'm not going to tell you the whole story. I'm just going to give you the initials. WWJD.
What would Jesus do? I got it. What you mean, what is Jesus going to do? Y'all ain't been around long enough to know that God has done everything that he said he was going to do. That's why he sent us. He says, "I'm going to do all this stuff that I already done, but I'm going to do it through you, Bob Oakley, through you, country boy, through you, Gary, through you, Ron Clayton, through. You can't get through unless you go through." But most people are not wanting to go nowhere. They don't want to help nobody. Why? Selfishness.
Yep.
We're running around with ourselves. The only reason I found out when I was six that Jesus wasn't born on Christmas Day. Then I had an old deacon man who was in the war who went to prison three times for making moonshine for the federal government. All of a sudden went from Baptist to Jehovah's Witness. And he showed me where it says Jesus Christ wasn't born in December. That's a man-made holiday. I don't give a shit what day he was born on, but he was born and he was born again. You can call it what you want to. Call it Kwanzaa. Call it Thanksgiving. What day is Thanksgiving? Oh, December the November 20th? No, it's not. Well, you being Thanksgiving is every day. Give us this day. And we give him thanks for it. So we've been mistaught, misdirected. We can't blame our ancestors, our moms, dads, and grandparents. They did the best that they could do with what they had for the time. But what happened was what worked for them in the 50s and 60s no longer worked in the 70s. When I came along in 70 and 80, when I was 10, what worked then didn't work when I got 2000. When I was in school, Bob, guess if I wanted to get in contact with you and Ron Clayton today, guess what I had to do? Page you.
Yep.
I email you, page you. Then the last Friday and a couple of weeks ago, I was on the phone with Lynn Kane, Top Gun, International Humanitarian Man of the Year. Lynn Kane says, country boy, I want you to go to the website, scroll down here, and click here. When I talk to Diana, and when I talk to Ron, and when I talk to Bob Oakley, if a picture's worth 1,000 words, how much is a video mail worth? Here's this man, 90 yep. years old, sending video mails. He said, when I talk to my yep. grandbaby, she sees me in front of her. I said, what are you doing? You're spiritually yep. time traveling from home? You mean your spirit can go places in time that your fleshly body can't go? He says, yeah, I visit my granddaughter every day, and she lives on the other side of the world. Go, Lynn Kane, Top Gun. But I'm telling you, what worked then doesn't work now. But what works and never fails, love,
yeah,
yep.
is the greatest. Love cures. Love heals. Money is the root of all evil. No, it's not. You can give me $10,000 and I can go build a daycare center that stays open 24 hours a day. Give it to Oak Man. He might go hire somebody to put a hit on Ron Clayton and take him out. It's what you do with what you do. So I'm going to coast to a stop again right here. I'll tell you, I want to use that word one more time. Ain't. Ain't nobody, Oak Man, ain't nobody, Gary, ain't nobody, Ron Clayton, ain't nobody, Lynn Kane, ain't nobody, Diana, ain't nobody can do what you do, like you do, when you do, what you do, so you just do what you do. My granddaddy says you can't control. You cannot control what nobody else says about you, Oak Man. Let them talk.
He's a big Oak Man planted by the river.
You cannot control what nobody says about you, and you can't control what nobody else does. You can only control what you do.
You do.
So, again,
yep.
if we're going to make the world better, you can't control the world. Trump can't control the world. The world can't control the world. They're out of control. You can yep. only control what you do in your life. And if you're going to say you was designed in the Creator's own image, he told me to tell everybody. He says, I am, I am, I am love. Back over you, Oak Man.
Yep. 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 Amen.
Very true.
See, years ago, they would have shut you down if you said amen on the air.
Yeah.
Don't you go into school and miss your guy. Hey, I got one more. I know we're running out of time, but look, when Halloween rolled around this year, a guy said,
country.
Bye.
My friend Larry is on the line with us, and I'm sure he would agree with most of the things that you're saying right now, right, Larry?
100%.
Yeah,
I agree.
Oh, I can't call you Gary. Larry, I thought I recognized your voice. Good to have you on, Larry.
Oh, thank you. It's nice hearing your voice too.
I know we ain't got about 2 minutes left.
Yeah, I know we're just about out of time. I only have about a minute left right now. I want to thank you, Country, for coming on and sharing with us and, pointing out things that are generally pretty obvious to most of us, but they're not obvious to a lot of people. They're not obvious to a lot of people.
Oh, but you got married. Bob. So, Bob, before we go, it was you that got married?
What's that?
Yeah.
Oh, man?
Yeah.
You got married. Well, congratulations,
yeah.
sir. High five.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. An 83-year-old man just got married, you know. So.
What?
And I was at the wedding too. It was a wonderful wedding.
Diana, this is not
Larry,
a proposal.
Larry.
But since it's just
Larry,
this is just a proposal. That's not that.
Larry,
Bob,
Larry,
that's
was,
my
Larry was there. Larry was there, and he could be my witness. He was there. And I'll tell you,
Bob, hang on. Diana, grab me a pen. Bob.
It's a long story.
Hang on. We're running out of time. Diana,
take
this number down. Bob, I want you to talk to my
friend.
That's okay. I'll get Bob's number. Bob, I'm going to have Diana call you. She's Asian American. She lived with me for 20 years plus. Everybody thought she was my wife. I took her everywhere I went, including home with my mom. We used to sleep in the same bed. And they said we were sleeping together. But listen. We fell asleep on the sofa the first night we met, and they said, y'all already sleeping together? I'm like, yeah. But look, Diana's got a couple proposals to somebody that's over on the other side of the world, wants to come to the great America. She's asked mine, but what better opportunity than to ask somebody, you guys can share with a Larry, and you can share with a Oakman on what you think, because we don't care what the world thinks. Y'all been there, done that. So, Oakman, when you get a 770 number, it's going to be Diana calling you from Atlanta.
Okay.
No.
There you go.
My number is 678.
Oh, I'm sorry. 678, Oakman. 678.
We'd love to have her on the show.
Larry,
yes,
make sure and come back on the show with us so you and I can talk again later, and Oakman will introduce you to me, too.
Okay. You take care.
All right, I'm going to hush, Oakman.
All righty. You did some good talking today. Thank you.
Well, thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Country, great,
Oakman,
great
you
to
still
be
there?
With you. Thank you so much.
All right. We're on tomorrow with Lynn Kane. Same time, same place. Y'all join us at noontime.
Okay, great.
Okay, I might
do that.
Lynn is something else.
Food's ready. I got to go.
He's going to share it. All right, gentlemen. Good day.
Thank you, Larry. Tell your wife, Josie, I said hello, and thank you for coming on the show today. All right, guys, we're going to go.
Bob, I'll call you after the call.
Okay.
All right, gentlemen. Have a blessed day.
Yeah, you too. I want to mention that we're broadcasting the Hope Collection show 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. And the number, anybody can call in. The number is 714-816-4686. That's 714-816-4686. And we'll be happy to talk with you. And we'll be able to if you want to just listen, you can listen. If you want to talk, you can talk. And we'll talk about what it is that you are interested in. And anything that you would like us to help you with, we'll be happy to talk about that also. So that's my open invitation to everyone that's listening from all the countries around in the Internet. And I think it's over 70 countries now that are connected up to the Hope Collection and have the capability to listen. But we'd also like to hear from you. So give us a call. There's no obligation. And if you want to register in the Hope Collection, it's free. That's free, F-R-E-E. So you can do that, or you can just come on and talk with us, and we'll be happy to discuss anything you want to discuss. So you all have a great day, and God bless, America. And I pray that the good Lord will help us to resolve a lot of the issues that are going on in the world today. So you all
Cliff
have
note,
a great
Oak
day.
Man. Cliff note, Oakman. Cliff note, Oakman. God says, and I quote, if they will turn their hearts towards me, I will come back and heal their coronavirus and their land. It says it in the word, sir.
Amen. Amen. I agree
so
with that
hope,
completely.
We hope that people turn their hearts back to him.
Amen. All right. We're signing off. Y'all have a great day.
Good day,
God bless.
Good day.
All right. Bye-bye.